What's up, everybody? And welcome to another episode of Flagrant 2. No easy buckets analysis by assholes. Water cooler commentary for your sports needs. We are without Akash.
Get well, Akash.
Yeah, Akash is went to go see family.
Yeah.
In Shreveport, I think, Louisiana. Mm. He has family in like Dallas and then Shreveport. Indians getting out there.
And, I think he caught the Ebola virus.
Akash has the immune system of the other Indians.
the immune system of the Native Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
You sneeze and everybody just falls apart.
Columbus was looking for those motherfuckers.
Yeah, give me those weak-blooded individuals right there.
Shout out to all our Native American friends.
Yeah, facts.
Appreciate Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we can't slander them.
I was thinking it was this past weekend, though.
I'm just saying, we're slandering them right after Thanksgiving. That's zero thanks.
First off, calling them Indians off the rip.
I'm saying the other ones.
What do you mean the other ones? There are no other ones. Just one Indian.
First of all, I know they're indigenous people or whatever they want to be called. I respect that. I'll call you whatever you want to be called. What I'm saying is, when Columbus came here, he thought he found Indians.
And he was hella wrong.
He was wrong. All I'm saying is, if he had arrived and Akash was here, he would have a matching immune system to the people that they came. That's all I'm trying to say. Akash is from India.
The actual India. The India that Christopher Columbus thought he found.
But his immune system is Navajo as a motherfucker. Is all I'm trying to say. That's it. Okay.
Poor guy, man. He texted us right before we were about to record.
He's on drugs right now.
He's on the strongest of drugs right now. He's on that Prince and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he literally said, I was like, what are you on? He goes, I think I'm on something called Propofol.
Yeah, I was like, you serious?
R.I.P. Akash, yo, man. Yeah. Best of luck,
by the time, hopefully Akash is alive to listen to this podcast by the time this goes out tomorrow, but get well, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to check in on him. We'll give him a nice little... what's it called? Speaker phone call. Yeah. Our technology isn't on point enough where we could just do phone calls just yet.
We'll figure it out eventually. Yeah. We'll get the big budget soon.
Anyway.
So speaking of Akash not being here, we literally, we are Knicks fans.
Andrew is going to
the Knicks game tonight. To check out the Blazers. Anybody who knows me, I've been a diehard Knicks fan as long as I can remember. But the fun part about being a Knicks fan on the Flagrant 2 podcast is that it annoys the hell
out of Akash.
He's the biggest, not even Knicks hater, but like, I don't think he necessarily hates the Knicks. He just hates Knicks fans, which, you know.
The Knicks are like someone else's kids on a plane.
Exactly. Just yelling.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, somebody put a sock in this kid.
Exactly. Flush it down the toilet. Like, how do you get rid of this kid? But your kid on the plane, you're looking at everybody else like, didn't you know that this is what kids do?
Yeah. They make noise, like, right? Come on, dude.
So we love our kids. Akash don't love our fucking kids, and I love rubbing it in.
Yeah, so you know? Today, we did it. Not only did we do this for Akash, but we did this for all the fans of the podcast who say we talk about the Knicks entirely too much, which, you know, fuck you. But anyway, yeah, like we'll do whatever. But specifically, just to piss off Akash,
yeah,
this is going to be the first episode where we talk about, we will ban Knicks talk from this episode. And to make sure that we ban Knicks talk, if anybody's watching this on YouTube or sees this, we have a nice little big silver cup, which we are calling our Knicks swear jar.
That's right.
And if anybody speaks about the Knicks between myself or Andrew, we will put $1 into the Knicks swear jar.
That's it.
And donate it to something. I don't know, like the jersey sales. I don't know.
We'll donate it to the Brooklyn Nets. That's what we're going to donate it to. Because they need everything they could get. Sorry-ass team.
So people that think when we talk about the Knicks too much on this podcast, we're doing you a favor because this is your podcast just as much as our podcast.
Well, here's the thing.
To the fans,
we're never going to stop talking about the Knicks and loving the Knicks.
Oh, no, that's we won't.
But one thing we will do is not do it the one day that Akash isn't here because we know how much it annoys him. So this is all this is about, is antagonizing our friends.
And the best thing about it is when he comes back, he'll have 2 weeks worth of Knicks talk.
Oh, so beautiful.
So from this point forward, there will be no Knicks talk for this episode of the podcast.
All right. Fine, no Knicks talk. Even though I got a juicy Knicks story that I don't even know if we can.
We're not allowed to. I'm just going to say fuck it right now. Just throw it in the jar.
It's worth a dollar, B.
Just throw it in the jar.
It's worth a dollar, bro.
Go for it. All right, we got one.
Listen, I don't know if I literally hit you. This is how juicy this story is. I literally hit, and I don't know if I could tell it. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable telling it yet.
There's too many. the degrees of separation between the stories. It's too small for
one
me.
One degree.
There's one degree.
It's one degree of separation. Okay. And it's something that, like, I want to talk about it so bad. Okay, there are 2 degrees of separation.
There's absolutely no way. First off, before you begin this.
There's
no way you could mention this story without people immediately knowing who you're talking about.
No, I'm not going to say what happened.
Okay.
All I'm going to say is this. Whew, I'm not gonna say, because the only reason I'm not gonna say what happened, and I hit you because I was conflicted. Yes. I hit you, Akash and Alex, and I was like, yo, is this something we talk about? The only reason, if I was there, I'm talking about it.
Yeah, okay.
If I was there, I'm talking about it. I wasn't there, so I'm not talking about it.
People saw this.
I'm hearing it from the horse's mouth.
Oh my gosh.
It's not speculation.
Oh.
This is from the horse's mouth. That's what I'm saying. It's 1 degree of separation.
All right, yeah, no, we definitely can talk about this.
That's all I'm saying. All I got to say is, listen, I went to the Knicks game last week with my boy, and we had a great time at the Knicks game. And we saw Tim Hardaway Jr. play like one of the best 2 guards in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
My man destroyed. I think he dropped 38. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was making jokes. The ref tripped and slipped, and he called the ref safe. Like, this guy was in his bag. He was playing comfortable.
He looked like every bit the $80 million player that he is. Yeah.
And you know what?
He looked underpaid that
he
night.
He looked underpaid. He was like, we got a deal on this $100
million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, who's Tim Hardaway Sr.? That's what I was thinking. And then I go out to the club a little bit later that night. I see my man at the club. But seems to be having a good time. Like, you know, you drop 38, you have fun at the club. Now, I cannot speak about what happened after the club. All I'm saying is, Tim, if you're listening,
listening to him,
cut that shit out, Tim. Cut that fucking shit out. This is not the 80s, no more than 90s. God. You are our 2-3 guard.
Listen.
We are not playing games. If you play for another team, I don't give a fuck, but you play for New York Knicks, this city will give you the keys.
Yeah.
This is some real shit, Tim. This city will give you the keys. You can drive this bitch. You can do whatever you want. You play like that.
I'm not touching
the
subject.
Cut that shit out, Tim.
All you guys didn't know, it was Tim Hardaway. It was a club, and Andrew was telling them, stop doing this, cut this
that's
out.
Hey, little celebration is fine, but anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
I'm not touching this at all, bro.
Listen, the Knicks meme everything to me. I'm putting another dollar. The Knicks meme everything. I might just put a 20 in and just
say, fuck it.
The Knicks mean everything to me, and they mean everything to this city. You don't understand what this means. When we see somebody have a breakout game like that, we think about the future.
I feel like I gotta throw one in there too.
We think about the future, all right? We need you, Tim. Button it up, Tim.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
We're gonna get pulled off the air so quickly.
Let's get away from it. We're all sweating. I'm sweating too.
I'm sweating for you.
Listen.
All right, no more Knicks talk.
That's it.
No more Knicks.
We'll shut it down. All right, let's talk about
a lot of juicy football stuff this weekend. Motherfuckers getting their chain snatched.
We got to talk about it. Akeem Talib is the GOAT, dog.
Yo, first off, if there's a team and you're in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I don't care if Akeem Talib is 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old. He can play for my team any day of the week. Don't care. And I'm going to tell you why. People, obviously, if you saw this game on Sunday, the Oakland Raiders and the Denver Broncos, they've had a little bit of a rivalry this past 2 seasons, and it hasn't revolved around like the actual play on field. It hasn't revolved around dueling A1 quarterbacks or anything of the sort. Chain snatching. Bro. Motherfuckers getting their chain snatched in the middle of games, and not only are people getting their chain snatched, he's calling it. Before it happens, last time they played each other, Akeem Talib snatched the Michael Crabtree
last
chain.
Last year. Snatched that shit.
They asked him, why did you snatch his chain? And he goes, and I'm loosely quoting him here. Akeem Talib goes, well, I told that motherfucker I was going to take his chain, so I went up to him and took his chain. And he did it. And it looks like he went to go and try and do it again. And Crabtree was ready for him. Brawl ensued.
No, he yanked that shit.
Oh, he yanked it.
He yanked it, and then the brawl ensued.
Oh my god,
he yanked it again. This shit, you gotta see, dude. It was unbelievable. It was the most prison yard shit I've ever seen.
It was prison yard. It was backyard.
That's it.
It was lunch table
shit. In the backyard. We're gonna tussle. You're not gonna rip my chain off my neck, bro.
Oh, facts,
bro. This was a wild. You actually have the clip right here. Yeah, all right, let's pull up the clip real quick. So here we are.
Stewart and Sue. It looks like it's the first series of the game right here.
Oh my god, it's 3 minutes into the first. Lynch goes for a nice little run.
Looks like a nice little five yard gain.
Some other shit is popping off in the background. We hear some whistles.
Lots of whistles.
Wow, we got a fight.
Look at this. After Crabtree. Yo, big up Kevin Harlan, man. He makes everything sound exciting.
Look at that referee. Down, safe. Where's Tim Hardaway? Wow, this is wild.
Crabtree actually blocks him. Oh, and it's still going at it.
Yeah, with his helmet on. That shit pussy,
all,
yo.
Talib was not about that life because he kept his helmet on the whole time.
And we got to talk about another fight, matter of fact.
Are more important than the team when you put yourself and your team at risk. And that's terrible. You just can't do it. You gotta exercise some self-control.
Do we have the chain snatch?
Why, though? Yeah, I mean, apparently it must have happened earlier.
It's just a fight.
But another special moment that I don't think was caught. Another special moment I don't think was caught.
Yeah.
It was another great case of Marshawn Lynch being Marshawn Lynch. Not only does he break up the fight.
Right.
After Aqib Talib is ejected from the game, he escorts him through the Raiders.
Why?
Because he knows he's about to get set on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but like, yo, sometimes you got to get set on.
Listen.
Why are you giving him safe passage?
The fight was over, right? The fight was over. He's walking him through. You know what I mean? Like, if you're on the field and it's crew versus crew, whatever, that says a lot about Marshawn Lynch, right? I'll scrap with you, but if it's an unfair fight, if you look at all the faces over here. look at Crabtree down here. Everybody just screw facing Marshawn. Because first off, what are you going to tell Marshawn? No, you can't walk.
Of course, Marshawn's the alpha, but I'm just saying, like, you got to have some loyalty to your teammate.
Now, I ain't going to stomp him out after the fight's over and you got to walk him through the crowd. And
hey,
first
man.
Of all, and he's protecting his own team, too. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, okay, if you walk him through here, we're already going to get mad people thrown out the game.
All right, fair.
Let's not set it up.
If that's why he did it, he's like, I don't want to get more people thrown out the game. I don't want to get more people suspended. I'm trying to make a playoff run, even though they're 4-6 and they're not going nowhere. Okay, that makes sense. But come on, bro. You can't be offering safe passage to somebody who just snatched your boy's chain for the second year in a row. This shit is not Friday. You know what I mean?
It's definitely not. And it kind of... God damn, like, between him and Steve Smith, those are, like, two of the most I'm about that action people.
Who, Aqib or Crabtree?
Steve Smith from the Panthers.
I know.
He was another guy who used to, you know, talk shit.
Yeah.
Say, I'm going to fight you. Say, I'm going to beat you up and actually go and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and in a league full of, you know, the NFL has some tough guys, but there's an awful lot of fake tough guys in the NFL.
Was it fake tough guy to keep his helmet on?
I don't know if it was.
I'm just saying, like,
I can't call somebody a fake tough guy who snatched your chain 2 years in a row.
But then when my man has no helmet, he's down to fight, and you kept your helmet on. Look, what would I do at 34? Would 34 Andrew do? I would keep my helmet on.
Absolutely. Bro.
I keep my mouth guard in, my chin strap, all that shit.
Crabtree just looks like he got too emotional. That was poor strategy right there, bro.
It was bad. Don't take off the helmet.
No.
I locked that helmet extra on. But that being said, you can't fight somebody with no helmet.
Mm. I don't know, bro. To me, that just seemed like a poor strategy. Like a Crabtree. I think he got real emotional. You could tell by the score and the time that was going on that, you know, it didn't take long for them to get into it.
Oh, he knew.
Had this on his mind.
Right after he did it last time.
Oh, yeah.
He said, next time I see him, I'm going to take that chain again. He liked taking the chain. It was something satisfying to him. Why not do it again? Matter of fact. And Crabtree should have known better. Why are you wearing a chain to the game? Like you're playing football, bro.
Yeah.
Like, unclasp the chain. It's not like they're, you know, like the fronts that you have in because your teeth are just nubs.
Yeah.
You got the choice to wear the chain or not.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
You're basically asking him to snatch it. And if you are going to do it, get a chain with a solid enough material that it can't be snatched.
You know, to me, I mean,
your little 16 carat chain.
I was about to
get some more.
Like,
you're
going to get like a big dookie chain and then wear it under your pants.
You got to get the link. You got to get a nice Cuban, a thick ass Cuban.
You know what? To me, I don't think Talib, I mean, outside of the fight, whatever, I don't think there should be like any type of punishment for this. You know what I mean? I look at the gold chain on Crabtree like dreadlocks on a running back or a defensive back. Yo, if it's part of your body, I should be able to grab that shit and get you off the ground.
Real talk, that's true. Because if you snatch someone's dreadlock out their head, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not a foul.
You chose to wear dreadlocks.
Yeah, it's technically part of the uniform. It's part of your hair. If they drag you down by your dreadlocks, it's not a necessary roughness. It's not a flag or none of that shit. That's a great risky run.
If you're an offensive player and you have dreadlocks, you don't care enough.
Why are you making yourself
easier to tackle?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that's absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, let me think. Are there any great offensive players with dreads that we can think of?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, Jay Ajayi had a good couple years. He hasn't really done much in Philly since he got traded over there.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald, he's one. Hmm. That's why I don't see no quarterbacks with dreads.
Oh, forget it, bro.
I bet you like in the NFL draft combine, like when they have like scouting and stuff like that, like you know, they had homeboy from Alabama, their quarterback has dreads. I guarantee you that guy will not get drafted.
Unless
he cuts his hair.
I mean, why would you give more shit to grab? It makes no sense.
Oh, you have the biggest target on your back anyway. People can see you. They know where you are. And I get it. If, you know, people who grow out their hair for religious reasons or anything like that.
Yeah.
Totally understand. I get that. But it's like, oh, you're a quarterback. You're an NFL player. So you're an offensive player.
You got to get your shit together. Like, I feel the same way about basketball players. You know these basketball players that have, like, haircuts? Like, you see these, like, especially, like, the white guys, like, from Europe and stuff like that. They, like, comb their hair. Yeah. They have, like my hair.
Yeah.
The sport should be more important.
Facts.
No gel. We're not doing gel. We're doing a short, trimmed buzz cut. Like, you know when you go to the barbershop and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's just 7 haircuts you get to choose from. Choose one of them.
We're not doing long,
dangly hair. Like, what was the guy? Vujicic.
Vujicic.
Vujicic. Whatever. He's got like a headband, but what if the headband goes?
A little bra strap on his hair.
You got a fucking bra strap on your head. Like, dude, think. No, he got a garter belt. I feel like putting dollar bills in that shit when I see him. If you miss one shot in the game because a little piece of hair got into your eye, you don't deserve to play on a team anymore.
You're
an NBA player. Why are you trying to look cute? You got millions. That's cute. You can have any. No girl's gonna not fuck you because your haircut. If you're already in the NBA,
you're already on the team. You're already getting burned. Like, there's no reason why.
Who cares that much?
Who are you trying
to
impress? Who are you trying to impress is what my question is. I had a guy who I used to play ball with who would purposely smell during games.
Hot.
Like, it was a strategic move from him. He wouldn't shower. He wouldn't put on deodorant.
Love
He'd be
it.
Like, I'm good.
Love
He's
it.
Like, I'm taking any advantage I can.
Love he would it. Get in sure. the post.
Bro, he would be, yeah. And he was a big man too, so he's boxing out. He's like rubbing your ass on you and shit.
arms up
and all that shit. So that shit is hitting your nostrils.
Yep.
Like, intensely. Mm. So it's like, my thing is like, you know, I'm not one of those people. I'm going to wear deodorant. I'm going to shower and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if it's like, why not take any type of athletic advantage you can have, especially if it's mental.
Bro, you need to do it. It's not even a question.
You should do it more in the pros, is what I'm saying.
Your ego should depend on it.
You have, yeah, like your ego should depend on it.
How anyone else has worn a chain and hasn't been snatched is confusing to me. Like, but maybe people just aren't wearing chains like that. I can't fit. But I'll tell you this. I'm watching this clip on Instagram, and then you know how like another video kind of like it will pop up afterwards if you're like on the Explore page or something like that?
Yeah.
The video that popped up afterwards was the brawl at the palace or whatever.
Malice
in the palace, yes. Right?
Classic.
I never saw what happened before the malice at the palace.
Really?
All I saw was the fight where they go and attack the stands.
Okay.
I didn't realize that Artest fouled...
Ben Wallace.
Fouled Ben Wallace in a way that Wallace did not like.
Mm-hmm. And Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace pulled up on Artest, pushed him. Artest didn't want none of that smoke
of that.
Whatsoever.
You know,
and the second a 5'8" Mexican dude says, screw you, 3 feet in the
Hucks
stands.
A beer at him.
Even before that, my man jumped in the stands trying to talk shit like, that changed my entire perception of the fight because you had the opportunity and your whole team had the opportunity to fight Ben Wallace.
Facts.
But nobody won anything with the big dog.
Yeah, hell no. First off, smart guy. You know,
brilliant. But this is all you see. So the clip right here is just him running the stance. You don't see before when Ben Wallace ran at him and he was like, world peace.
Nah, but you know what the funny thing is about this? And people will never remember it. Because I remember like watching this live. Not watching it live, but like, you know, kind of following the Pacers. Because, you know, they were one of the top teams in the East at the point. And I remember Ron Artest, he already had like his, I don't know, like his quota or like whatever, how many technical fouls you one get. Person can get. So when he gets shoved by Ben Wallace, he walks away calmly and goes and lays down on the scorer's table. So I'm like, wow, look at Ron Artest. He's really starting to mature. All right, he's not gonna engage. He's not going to get any more flagrant fouls. Like, I get it, right? A minute later, beer comes flying, and it's like fucking, I don't know, it's like the Sonic rings just splash all over him. And it's like all that patience
out the window,
I saw, it was out the fucking window, and with good reason.
You can't get a tech for beating up the fans. That's what he's thinking. Like, that's his logic.
He's like, man, they always keep fining me for fouling these NBA players.
But you can't foul a fan because they're not in the game.
This is facts. To me, still,
I just thought it was wild because Steven Jackson is one of the realest dudes that's ever played basketball. Facts. Like a real life, legitimate
in the streets
guy.
Type of guy.
Nobody questions that. No. And he had Artest back to the maximum against the fans.
Oh, yeah. It says 3-on-50.
It says something about Ben Wallace that even in that moment, Steven Jackson was like, calm down, guys. It's not that technical. Let's, we got a lot of game left to play. Let's make sure everything's all right.
Let's talk this over. Let's get on the plane.
guys.
Let's discuss this on the way back to Indiana.
What's the issue here?
as soon as he got into street mode, it was like, fuck that shit.
All right. We're talking about snatching chains.
Yes.
Greg Schiano.
Oh, man.
Kind of got his chain snatched. Greg Schiano was I don't know how to pronounce it, but he's
former head coach of Rutgers.
Defensive coordinator for Ohio Tampa State.
He used to coach Tampa Bay Buccaneers and defensive coordinator for Ohio State.
Currently defensive coordinator for Ohio State.
Yes.
Was offered a job at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It's college football, everybody who's listening right now. I don't give a fuck about college football at all. The least amount of fucks, but the story's interesting.
Yeah.
The school has like 100 kids protest him getting offered the job at Tennessee because they claim that he knew what was happening during the Sandusky situation. Mm-hmm. Am I getting this correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
So after 100 kids go out and protest, this is a school that probably houses 40,000 kids.
Yeah.
100 kids protest. The school, like schools do now, because all these schools are so pussy, they remove the offer to be head coach.
Yeah. I'm so conflicted with this story.
I have two ways to look at it. I'm interested in yours.
I'm really conflicted with this story. Because it's like, on one hand, it's like, listen, if the guy knew about all the horrible things that Sandusky was doing to these kids at Penn State and was allegedly an eyewitness and all this other stuff, understood.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be working anywhere, being near kids in any way, shape, or form. Totally get that. My thing is this. What happened? It's not like he's been like ostracized for years and this is like his first chance back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's had multiple coaching jobs since then.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? And I hate to be that guy, but it's like, why is this coming up now? You know what I mean? And apparently there was some one person, and I guess they haven't mentioned his name, or maybe his name just isn't important for us to remember at the point, that came into that meeting at Tennessee with the staff and the school and was just like, no, like, this is really true. This guy was a part of all this. And apparently it was his word that stopped Schiano from getting this job.
Interesting. So not just the students.
It wasn't just the students, but apparently it was a guy, and I'm loosely quoting, but they said, you know, it was someone whose word goes a long way in Tennessee.
Whoa.
So I don't know if it was like an alumni. I don't know if it's like another coach or just the I don't know, somebody with connection to that entire story who was like, I have nothing to gain by lying about this.
Peyton Manning.
That's first thing I'm thinking. I'm like, he's the guy when I think of Tennessee where it's like,
wow,
Yeah, if Peyton says this ain't going, it ain't going. Peyton him and Pat Summit. God rest her soul.
That's right. Pat don't even know what happened. Yeah, she's dead, right?
Is Pat Summit still alive?
No, I think she passed.
Pat Summit passed.
Yeah, she passed.
Yeah, her and Pat him and Pat Summit.
You think Peyton Manning called the shots? He said no way.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it would be a juicy as fuck if it was. But
somebody with that clout.
Somebody, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not, how many people really got football clout like that in Tennessee to be like, yo, you hire this guy, I'm not, I'm out of here. I'm not fucking with y'all no more.
And no Papa John's.
Who, and no Papa John's?
You're not going to get no Papa John's pizza and no help with the play
I'm
calling.
Stirring that pot, man. Like, I don't think it was, I don't think it was Peyton.
Let's
but
put it out there. It's Peyton.
It was
a flagrant hot take. Peyton was out there and he said no to Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's
what's
my take.
What's your take on this?
The moral human being that I am, I look at this and I go, listen, if you knew about this happening, if you knew a murder happened, you don't say what happened, you're an accessory to murder.
Absolutely.
If you knew pedophilia is happening, you don't say anything, you're accessory to pedophilia. That's fucked up. You shouldn't get the job. That being said, let's say he did know what was going on and didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
That man cares about winning. And if I'm thinking as like a psychopath that just wants to win, you know what I mean? That just wants to win football games, and that's all I want to do. I want my coach to just want to win football games, you know, because he could have seen what was happening in the bathroom, and he was like, I could drop dime on this, but I could also have a losing season. And if he weighed those two, like, what would Belichick do?
A lot of kids, but we got a bowl coming up.
We got a bowl game. I'm not trying to play in the Tostitos bowl.
Oh my God, I'm playing the Fiesta Bowl.
Let's
go
hard.
Let's go to the Cotton Bowl or something.
So it's one of those things like, what would Belichick do? There's no doubt in my mind Belichick trying to win.
Oh, Belichick got all them skeletons in the closet, man.
Bro, Belichick knows about every priest that touched a kid in Boston. You know what I mean? But he's like, that's not for me. That's for me. I'm supposed to win.
Like, bro, we're on to Cincinnati, bro. That's all I give a fuck about. We're on to Cincinnati.
We got the Bengals this week. Okay? Fuck, you know? I don't care if these priests are diddling kids. We got the Bengals. And I feel like Schiano has that sociopathic mindset that wins you football games.
And you know what?
You need to be, as a defensive coordinator, you need to be a sociopath because you're the damage person.
Yeah.
Offensive players don't do damage.
Facts. You gotta hurt people.
You are literally coaching people into harm.
Speaking of hurting people, you wanna hear the real funny, like,
full circle
thing about it?
Drop it.
You know who used to coach in college?
Who?
Ray Rice.
There we go. Sometimes you gotta kill a motherfucker, right? You know how many times Schiano said that?
And this head, he's like, it's not like you beat a woman or anything.
No, come on, bro. It's nothing crazy.
Oh, yeah, come on. I'm seeing the worst.
Murder.
You know, it's just a little touch of some kids.
It's just a little diddle pop. Wow, dude, this is wild. Okay.
Yeah, nah, it's a fucked up story, but I mean, at the same time, it's, you know,
Ohio State basically said, we don't allow pedophiles to be head coaches. Any other position is open, but
handle the defense, bro. It's like, we do not stand for that, Ohio State. You just coach the defense, goddammit.
Disgusting.
Yeah, no, it's actually a terrible thing. You know, I'm sure Greg Schiano will find a job. Actually, he probably won't.
Is he going to keep coaching for Ohio State?
I mean, but that's the thing. Now it's going to be a whole domino
Ohio
effect.
Ohio State. It's like,
now they're going to be like, oh, you're employing this guy who was complicit to this? Now he's probably going to lose his current job.
So Ohio State's going to be defenseless. Kind of like those kids.
That's fucking terrible. Why are we talking about this, man?
It was a wild story. None of us care about college ball. It's just
an absolute wild story. Absolutely.
Listen, but I think the moral of the story here is, if you know that pedophilia is going on, say something, right? Like,
yeah, like, honestly, bro, this whole thing goes away. So, especially like the whole Penn State fallout, because everybody took the fall for that, right?
Right.
So, if you're one of those coaches,
yep.
If you're Sandusky who's, you know, rotting away in jail somewhere,
yep.
And you see everybody take the fall, and this guy is punching Michigan on this weekend,
yep.
Coaching, might be going to the national championship game. I'm dropping dime. Yeah. Fuck that shit. It's bigger than Nino Brown at this, at this point. It's like, nah, bro. Like, you ain't just about to get another coach. You're getting another coaching job? Nah, fuck all that. Maybe it was Sandusky himself. He's like, yep, it was him. I saw him. I looked him right in the eye while I was touching that kid. Like, yep. I saw
none of them. It was Shiano. Wow, dude.
Yeah, nah, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's disgusting. College sports is probably the most disgusting thing in all of sports.
If you see something, say something.
Bro, very simple. Just don't listen to these black kids that say snitching is not cool. Stop snitching, dog. Start snitching. Yo, this man just lost out like $15 million.
That was the most African moment I've ever had. Yo, you went full Nigerian. Do not listen to these black kids.
Are you kidding me? There's a distinct difference between blacks and Africans. Yes. There's a distinct difference, bro.
And it's called snitching.
And it's called snitching. If I see
we
some
snitch.
Shit. I'm like, listen, if I see some shit that's eventually going to cost me $15 to $20 million, and a head coaching job, that motherfucker did it. I don't see nothing. It was him. I see. You see. I wasn't touching him. It was him. I'm not complicit in all this. Hell no, bro. Snitching is okay a lot of times.
Yo,
it
snitching
really is
hot in 2018. I think snitch is making a big comeback,
listen,
bro.
Snitches used to get stitches. Now snitches get fucking
millions.
Snitches get paid now.
Yeah, I'll take some snitches if I get some millions of dollars.
You know how many people, like, there's a lot of snitches getting paid right now, man. And not snitches in the. And here's my thing, right?
It's not snitching if it's pedophilia.
It's
like,
not snitching if it's pedophilia.
Come on, bro. Listen, like, this whole snitches thing is so stupid because all it does is protect people who are breaking the law.
Facts.
And they're guilting you into thinking that you're some kind of scrub so that they can continue breaking the law.
But here's my thing. It's not snitching if. Okay, if me and you rob a bank together, right?
I help
you rob the bank.
Yes.
I'm not telling. Like, if I get caught and Andrew gets away, I'm not saying anything because
made that decision to do that together.
Exactly. And I got to live with the consequences on my own.
Sure.
If I walk in on Andrew touching a boy, and Andrew's my man, and he hits me, he's like, bro, don't be snitching.
Snitches get snitches.
What? I'm like, fuck you, Andrew. Go fucking jail, dude. Are you kidding me?
Dude, I'm with you. There's like a... There's a relationship that the Italians have with the cops. When I say Italians, I mean the mafia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if mafia, at least old school mafia, if the cops catch the mafia dudes fair and square, they do the time.
They just eat it.
They eat it. They do the time. Yeah. It's when the cops plant shit, they put drugs there, they fake evidence, they do that. That's when the cops get off.
Yeah.
But there is this relationship between police and people who break the law, and it's as simple as this: it's a cat and mouse shit. I'm gonna try to break the law.
Yeah.
You catch me, you got
you
me
know.
Good.
And he knows you're a lawbreaker. Like, you see in the movies all the time, where the
cops go to the funeral when the bosses die.
All that
the
type
cops
of stuff.
Go to the funeral and there's like a respect in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird, and the same shit should go with snitching. If I'm the cop and I see some shit, or I'm some other innocent bystander, you don't take me out.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You decided to do it.
It's fine.
You did it in front of me.
I don't know, man. It's a weird thing with snitching, but I think we can all fairly say that, you know, pedophilia isn't one of them.
Yo, if you don't snitch for pedophilia, you are too committed to that street life.
Like, there's no way I'm saying like, well, you know, man, you know, no, we don't talk about kids getting nah, bro.
Nah, we talk.
We talk quick.
We talk a lot, loud.
Yeah,
facts. Loud.
Huh.
All right. What else is going on?
I got something I gotta ask.
Talk.
And hopefully somebody will. We'll jump into basketball real quick. James Harden, right?
Yeah, you got this soft spot for James Harden.
I don't really have a soft spot
for
him.
Stop it. You guys share a face.
We share a face and hair.
Yeah.
And beard, which is great. I make it look better than
head.
He does.
You share a head. Both of you guys. Yeah.
And I had this thing where I think the media has an agenda against him.
Okay.
Because of his style of play.
Go.
To me, I think there's, first off, you look at the MVP race this year and you see, like, okay, Giannis, Kyrie Irving, even Porzingis has gotten some talk. Braun, obviously, always, Stephen Curry. But James Harden always kind of gets mentioned in the MVP conversation as a big caveat. Like, if they beat the Warriors, or, oh, well, if they win 70 games, or, oh, well, this, that. And it's like, why do people look like he leads the league in scoring? He leads the league in like what, 3-point percentage, I think. Leads the league in assists. He puts up stupid amounts of numbers.
Yep.
And I think, and Alan Hahn brought this up on the post Knicks six after the, let me put a dollar in there. After the Knicks blew that 20-point lead against the Rockets this past weekend, that he doesn't play an appealing type of game. You know what I mean? It's almost like James Harden, he plays, he's like a cheese. Like if you play video games, and you know one person that has like a one thing that is unbeatable and unguardable, and they just cheese with it. Like, I think James Harden is a real life cheese. Like, he plays the same type of game. He plays the same type of, like, I'm going to manipulate my way into shooting an inordinate amount of free throws during an entire game. So I'm guarantee I'm getting at least 15 points with no one guarding me 15 feet away.
Yeah.
Like that, right? He plays in this up-tempo Mike D'Antoni, we're going to, you know, fuck two-pointers, fuck defense, we're just going to run and shoot, and as soon as James Harden passes you the ball, if you don't shoot, you're sitting down.
Yeah.
Like, we're putting up stupid amounts of three-pointers a game. And it's like, for some reason, you know, does this... I almost feel like if James Harden won the MVP award, it would kind of dilute the MVP award itself.
Why?
Because... as good as he is, I don't think you can make an argument for him to being the best, most valuable player in the league.
Okay.
You could be the most valuable player on that team, which undoubtedly he is, but I don't think he's more valuable to his team and the way he plays and the way that he manipulates stats and manipulates referees and scores the way... LeBron is most valuable to a franchise, who's most valuable right. to any team he goes to.
Right.
How Stephen Curry, the reason why he won MVP is not that he was just this great shooter, but the style of play literally broke defenses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I always called Stephen Curry mini Shaq because when Shaq was dominant, when he was in the paint, he was so dominant in the paint, it collapsed defenses as soon as he got in the got the ball. Stephen Curry did the opposite. As soon as he crosses half court, you have to guard him. Mm-hmm. So the court is wide open, right?
Yep.
Style of play, dominating, like, you know, like LeBron, like KD, you can have a masterful season like that. But I kind of think in a weird way, if James Harden ever won the MVP award because of his style of play, it would kind of cheapen the award a little bit. It's like, oh, well, we got to give it to him because he leads the league in scoring, leads the league in this, leads the league in that.
So, wait, you think that his stats are inflated?
It's super inflated.
He doesn't earn them.
He doesn't. Yeah, I think he, don't get me wrong, I think he's one of the best scorers I've ever seen. Nothing he's doing is illegal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like, okay, well, they're going to change.
How many cheap points does he score a game?
At least 18. At least. How many times does he go to the line and dance with the ball? He does it every time. He'll dance with the ball, dance. Wait till somebody puts an arm out of him. Not even trying to shoot the ball, but he just puts his ball or his arm.
But that's not
under
18
you.
Points a game.
He goes to the free throw line like 18 to like from like 12 to 18 times a game.
Okay,
he's getting points with nobody guarding him, 15 feet away. Dead silence, or if it's a home game.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of those points are cheap. A lot of those, how many superstar players are getting those calls? We watched Melo play like this for however many years. How many times have we been like, Melo doesn't get these calls. Yeah. Derrick Rose didn't get these calls, and he was having his MVP years. A lot of people don't get those calls, and it's like,
so
I don't know if
it's,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's a superstar treatment. I don't know if it's how he manipulates.
I think, okay. I think he makes the game look easier than it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we look at these things as cheese.
I mean,
I think it's really hard to get your defender to even extend their arm. I think it's really hard to have that kind of control of a basketball at that size dexterity.
Oh, no, like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, you have to guard. A guy that is at that good of a three-point shooter, you have to guard out there anyway. You know what I mean?
I think he's the most skilled offensive player in the league.
More skilled? More skilled than LeBron.
Yeah.
More skilled than Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Skilled.
Yeah.
Skilled. I don't know, bro.
I think he's just as good a passer as Bron.
No, he is not.
He doesn't have a pass-first mentality.
No, he is not.
But he is unbelievable passer. LeBron is pass-first, so he sees more things. But, like, in terms of his ability to deliver a pass, like in the pick and roll, he's just as good as anybody who plays pick and roll in the league.
I think James Harden is really good in the pick and roll. And I think he's really good at hitting, like, the Ryan Andersons and the Eric Gordons of the world for open threes.
Sure.
Because when he drives, you got to respect it.
You got to respect it. Yeah. But I think his just pick and roll, his ability to pass, I mean, all different ways. His placement of passing, I think, is brilliant. He's just a score-first guy. He doesn't think about passing. But his skill to pass is incredible. Like, his skill to pass is far superior than Steph's.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
like,
I don't, but that's my thing,
but Steph
man.
Isn't dropping dimes.
But that's
like,
my
Steph
thing.
Isn't diming people up. LeBron is. LeBron sees more passes. I just think that he doesn't train himself to look past. LeBron is look past. I think he's a better penetrator than LeBron. LeBron relies on brute strength more than James does. Yeah.
I think James is a much better ball handler.
He's a better ball handler, and he's a better three-point shooter, and a better mid-range shooter. He's a better all-around shooter than LeBron.
He's a better all-around shooter than LeBron. I give you that.
My thing is, skill alone, I think he's the best offensive skilled player in the league, and I think that he doesn't get the MVP credit, or people don't talk about him at MVP, simply for two reasons. One, he makes the game look too easy. It literally looks like a joke when he. There's no defender that makes it look like he doesn't have to struggle to score.
James Harden plays with like a certain inevitability, right? Like, watch when I.
It's like when you're playing against a girl. That's literally the exact same.
He plays
same
with a certain inevitability. When he was playing, when they were playing the Knicks, they were up by like 20 points or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, the Knicks are gonna lose this game. The Knicks are gonna lose this game because James Harden hasn't gotten his. They were getting shots. They just weren't falling.
But when they start falling,
that's it.
It's like he could be the best. I mean, Steph is the best 3-point shooter in the league, but he's in the discussion.
He's in the discussion.
He's top two shooting off the dribble in the league.
His step back, I think James Harden has the prettiest step back.
In terms of Steph is the greatest shooter maybe in history, and for one reason is because he shoots so well off the dribble. We haven't seen someone who can dribble the ball that well and have that kind of range. Mm-hmm. Usually a guy with crazy handle can't shoot. Because why would you develop a jump shot if you get to the basket at will? But here's a guy with crazy handle can also shoot. James has crazy handle and can also shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this weird situation where I think it comes down to he just doesn't play D. And it's hard for us to respect players who don't play D on some like working class shit.
Yeah.
Like when we see Steph tries. Mm-hmm. He's not a great defender, but he tries when he gets matched up with a little mismatch, you see him fighting for post position and he's got his hands out.
He plays with effort.
I've never seen him play with effort on D. Never once.
I don't know, man. Like I think it's just It's hard for me, dude. And if he gets it this year, I'm sure he'll deserve it and everything. But it's like with a team that plays like that with that many possessions per game and like how many opportunities he gets.
Yeah.
The ball is in his hands the entire game.
Sure,
the entire game.
But it's effortless.
He does not play. And it is,
I guess. There's something about effort. Like we appreciated LeBron's greatness when he went down 3-1 and came back. Before that, people appreciated it. But after that, it was, oh no, he's the best in the league no matter what. There was a lot of naysayers before that. Like the game is so easy to him.
He makes it look easy.
He just makes it look so easy that we don't appreciate how great he is. It'd be great. Like Steph, For everything that he does, he is this tiny guy going up against giants.
Yeah.
So when he goes in lane and bounces off of him and finishes, we're like, wow.
Yeah.
He does the same thing. He's just the same size as the giants.
He's deceptively large, though. You know what I mean?
Like, if you see him in person.
Like a, yeah. Like I was.
Tank.
I was standing next to him and the dude's shoulders are as fucking tank. Big as a table, right?
Yeah.
So my thing is with him is, and the reason why I think the media and, you know, I guess me for a certain, you know, reason don't really give him that MVP love, is like, you look at a guy like Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie, they go on a, 15-game winning streak. He's immediately in the MVP conversation. He's not putting up crazy numbers like that.
Right.
He's got some crazy fourth quarter numbers.
Yeah.
But he's not putting up crazy all-around numbers like James Harden is. And it's, for some reason, it's like, we don't really give him that
level of difficulty.
I don't know. I look at him and it's like, I remember Steve Nash's MVP year.
Yeah.
Where it was like, he got those MVPs. It's like, but was he really Did he really earn those? I would say
just because he got his guys involved and he made his guys so much better.
He did too. I mean, outside of, who's this? I mean, Chris Paul, yeah, it's the first time he has a legitimate like star next to him since he's like exploded like this on the MVP conversation. But who
let's talk about Kyrie.
Which one of his guys on his team right now is like a star anywhere else? Eric Gordon? Eric Gordon was damaged goods when he got to the Rockets.
And then he had his knees came back. Yeah, it's amazing.
Now he's great. You know, Ryan Anderson, like we wouldn't trade him. The Knicks, they were giving him away from Melo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were like, nah, we're good on Ryan Anderson. But in Houston, he's great.
Well, he fits in that system well, and a lot of credit needs to be given to D'Antoni.
A ton of credit.
I
think D'Antoni's more valuable to that team.
That's fair. That's an interesting argument. Like, D'Antoni is, like, you know how I said last week that, like, Brad Stevens gets all the excuses made for him?
Mm-hmm.
And D'Antoni is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
D'Antoni is an arguably, like,
he's a brilliant offensive mind.
He's a brilliant offensive mind and a great head coach because no matter what team he's on except the Knicks, they're fuck. they're going to be a playoff team. At least first round, if not second, right? Yeah. So that's just,
even if you know, you give D'Antoni a point guard, he'll give you a chance, right? So the best thing he did was like, you know what, James, you're not a shooting guard, you're going to be a point guard, you're going to have the ball in your hands the whole time and that's how we roll it.
I think it's, when you look at Kyrie, every basket he scores looks difficult.
Yeah.
The level of difficulty is a 10. And when you look at James Harden, every basket he scores, the level of difficulty is a 2.
Yeah.
Even when he shoots it, you're like, yeah, but he's wide open. He's getting wide open. It's like when he does these layups, it's like, yeah, but he just did a little sidestep and then went, no, he yurted a 7-footer.
Yeah.
Like there's things that he does. Like,
he's so nimble. I don't want people to think I'm hating on James Harden.
I know you're not hating. I understand what you're saying.
But my thing is like, you know, he has a certain way of playing that just, and I'm not, and mind you, when I was saying this is me speaking on like, I guess, how media views him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he has a certain way of playing that just isn't, it doesn't pass the smell test when it comes to your MVPs for some reason.
You want your MVP to look like he's trying hard.
Yeah. You got to look at him.
Harden doesn't look like he's trying hard.
Oh, dog.
He's also got a thing that I think rubs people the wrong way. He's kind of sassy. Like if you look at him in interviews, like there's a lot of neck movement.
Yeah.
There's like eye rolling and like shoulder movement. Like he acts like a baby mama in his post-game interviews. And I think that takes away from all he has to do is that professional ass interview where like, yeah, we play really hard and and you're like, okay, no, this guy's a good hard worker.
Yeah.
But he's more just like,
it goes back to what Kevin McHale said.
What is that?
You remember?
He's
not a leader. Nobody's gonna follow him and da-da-da-da-da. And that's how the media looks at him. The media looks at him just like, and I guess Kevin McHale's part of the media now, so he used to coach him.
And he's
like, that's how the media looks at him. He has a demeanor about himself that it doesn't look like, it doesn't fit the MVP mold. It doesn't fit the,
I get it. I feel it too. Like, it's, but the numbers, and when you watch him play, you're like, no, by far LeBron's the MVP every year.
He should be,
Outside of that, who, it's really the discussion. And is it Steph or is it Harden?
Yeah.
And who would you rather have?
I mean, me personally, I'd rather have Steph, though.
Steph. I've been hard on Steph, dude. You really can't appreciate Steph until you watch him play without KD or Klay. I actually witness, I don't want them to get injured. I want them to get an ego and ask for trades. And I want to watch Steph be the one guy on a team. They won't win anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be so much fun for basketball to see him go off for 40 every night. Because that's what would happen. He'd have these 26-point quarters. And he plays way more alpha. Like, you see the true alpha. Mm-hmm. You see this true leader in him.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just him out there, he can't rely on Klay or KD.
Yeah.
Because he is going at your neck.
Yeah, I watched him a couple days ago when they were playing the Bulls. And I guess KD and Draymond didn't play.
That's right.
I think it was just him and Klay and, like, Jordan Bell or something. And he goes off for, like, 25 and a quarter.
But he outscored the Bulls.
Mind you, the Bulls stink, but, like, bro.
Son, one player should not outscore a whole team.
We forget just how special this dude is. And I guess he fits the MVP mold. The same thing, I was going to bring up with Kyrie for a little while. It's like, when you got a kid like Steph, you look at him and it's like, this is the Golden State Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were a joke before he got here. There were people who were like, why did we get rid of Monte Ellis for this guy? You know what I mean? Like, people like to forget about it now, but people were legitimately upset. Like, damn, we couldn't make this work. You build around this dude, and he doesn't just transform your team. He doesn't just transform the NBA. He transforms the way the game is played. You know what I mean?
All like, these kids do is now shoot threes.
Yeah, it's like, dog, like, there is so many people. Like, there's a, there's people who have errors in the NBA. Like, I'll say it, like, we're living in the Stephen Curry era.
Oh, there was a time where Jason Williams made passing cool. Remember White Chocolate? Everybody wanted to pass. I wanted to pass. It was like, that was the cool
hot thing. You want to do the elbow pass.
I still, if I'm on a 3-on-1 fast break, try to break out the elbow pass.
Oh, for sure.
To this day.
If I, if I'm on a 1-on-1, I'm trying to do that stop and crossover. Did the Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, it's a classic.
All that shit.
So, like, but there are people that, that changed the game. Obviously, Jordan came in, changed the game. Then, and these people, they're what I look at if I was a brand to make a sneaker around. So, like, I wouldn't... There are certain people who have a great game, but I wouldn't make a sneaker around them. There's something
about...
Like, who's someone who put up tons of numbers that I wouldn't make a sneaker around? Mello, probably.
Mello did get his own sneaker.
Mello, even though he got his own sneaker, but I'm not... There are people that have their own sneaker. I just wouldn't brand the sneaker around. And I'll let me tell you what the branding is, and then we'll think of a person that's good to describe for that. The game has to be so different.
And that was a good one, DeMar DeRozan. That's a good one.
Perfect. Perfect. But the game has to be so different. Their basketball game has to be so different that the only way you can understand how they play that game is if they have a sneaker that's special. Like, Stephen Curry's game is, and that's why it's got to be the shoes, was such a genius slogan, right? Because Stephen Curry's game is so, I bought Stephen Curry's shoes. I was having ankle issues, and so did he. That was my justification. But, like, but his game is so different that I was like, well, maybe if I buy these sneakers, my game will be different.
They were good for him, so, you know, why not?
Same thing with Kyrie. Kyrie's game is so different in his finishing ability at the rim. Like, you start, maybe there's something with the traction here. And I started, like, his traction or, like, tires, and maybe you got to get your footwork down. Like,
which, there's something to it, because, you know, these players, they get some type of creative input into these sneakers. They're not just like, here, here's your sneaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Kobe tore his Achilles, they, the season he came back, they gave him some super high tops to really and to really support his Achilles, whatever. Same thing with Bron. You get any Bron sneakers, it's wide as hell because he has a wide-ass foot and he needs to be comfortable. You know what I mean? Same thing with Steph. So there's something to it. It's
there's
not
something
totally
to that, like the actual how you build a sneaker, but the way of play. That, in my opinion, is what sells a sneaker. When you play so outside the box that a consumer goes, well, it must, the sneaker must have some effect here. I honestly, as much as I love Kawhi Leonard,
I wouldn't buy Kawhi
Leonard. I'm not going to buy a sneaker. Dame Lillard, on the other hand, this guy's pulling up from wherever. He's got great game. Now that's a little sexier to me. Okay, there might be a sneaker
I think you know what I think it is now, that now that you mention it? It's about...
James Harden?
I've seen this before. You know what I'm saying? Like... I've never, like, I'm not saying these guys, and they are, but I'm not saying, like, these guys are, like, the greatest of all time, but, like, you've never, you've never seen someone like Steph Curry before.
Exactly. I can't put, like, if I saw somebody, I've seen people like DeRozan before. So I can make sense of that in my brain. I'm like, no, it's not the sneaker that makes him play like this.
6'7"
Literally with Steph Curry, you've never seen anything like this. So I'm like, well, maybe the sneaker has good balance and the balance helps your jump shot. Your brain goes to that. Justification. And I don't think that James, I don't look at James Harden's game as so uniquely transformative.
He think, to me, I'm not trying to downplay him. I think he's a great player. I think he's a product of that D'Antoni system. He's the best product of that D'Antoni system, even more than Steve Nash to me. You know what I mean? Because he's a bigger, stronger Steve Nash. You know, just as good as a shooter, just a better finisher, bigger. Probably just as good a passer, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's why like people have a hard time just being like, James Harden's the MVP. Like, it's not even close.
No, I get it.
Like, last year, and Steph's unanimous MVP run, he won that award in January. You know what I mean? Like, yep. By the time it was January and we were like 30 and like 2 or something, and that Oklahoma City game when yep. they were down like 7, and he pulls from the logo Forget for it. The win, he won it. It was done. He could his leg could have fell off right there. He still would have got the MVP. Done. And it's like with James, it's so many things have to fall into place for the media to just be like,
well, he almost got it last year, but he had to average a triple dub.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like even then, like I'm not sure if they would have even. I mean, yeah, Russell Westbrook had a you know once in a lifetime season,
right?
But it's just hard for people to accept James Harden as that guy for some reason.
Yeah. All I'm saying is like as a branding, there's certain things, and maybe the fact that his game isn't that.
It's not that sexy, man.
It's just not that sexy.
It's not that sexy. It's sexy. Like, it's like James Harden's game is like.
It's like, not sexy.
It's sex. It's cute. It's cute.
It's not powerful. It's not, even though he has all these things, it's not powerful. It's mm-hmm. not really that flashy.
Nah.
I mean, a step back three is whatever, like, but he's not pulling from like 5 feet out like Steph is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just not as, I don't know what it is. It's not as sexy.
It's cute.
You got a cute ass game.
It's cute. It's Katie Holmes. It's cute.
It's Katie Holmes.
Like, it's cute. Like, it's Zendaya. It's cute.
But he's not a bad bitch.
Yeah.
It's not Amber Rose.
It's not no Amber Rose. You know? Like, it ain't fucking, you know, like, who's like, it ain't, it's not Nicki Minaj. Like,
right. No, it's
sexy.
Not.
Like, I don't want to put my penis in this game. Like, I'd walk around the mall with this game. Yeah. I'd introduce my mom to this game. Like, hey, look at this. This is nice,
yeah.
Right?
You could show this game to your girl. Yeah. She wouldn't even be jealous. She'd be like, yeah, it is
I'm
cute.
Like, no, I get it. Oh, she's cute. You know what I mean? Like, that's other people's games. I want to go find a broom closet for and be like, I want this all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's so good, it's dangerous. It's like, damn, I can't marry this. This ain't, I can't do this every time.
But
you
the
know?
Funny thing about him is that he actually does make the people around him better.
Yeah.
And as amazing as Russ is, I'm starting to think that's not the case.
Oh, God. What's wrong with the Thunder, bro?
Yeah, we need to talk about what's wrong with the Thunder because, I mean, obviously Melo is what's wrong, but besides... No, Melo is what's wrong. Like, wherever he goes, naturally it'll be a black hole and everything Melo will be
is,
devoured.
Melo is like the rain cloud.
Yes. Bro, but he's so unself-aware that he really doesn't think it's... How many teams does the same thing need to happen before he realizes it?
I don't...
I really, truly wonder that. Like, maybe... All I'm trying to say is that, okay, let's talk about first with Russ.
Yeah.
So you leave Russ, you don't stop smiling. KD hasn't stopped dancing. He's learning new dance moves. He's just goofy. He's silly. He's just everything.
He's super
fun.
Comfortable. You're like, I don't want to be the man. I'm
yeah,
cool.
I'm not even a leader. He's like comfortable in his skin.
Yeah.
He's like, he's literally like, it's you leave. It's, you know that movie, How Stella Got Her Groove Back? That's what happens when you leave Russ, I feel. And, I mean, look at Enes Kanter. This
Kanter,
guy
balling.
Is talking shit to Bron.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He is balling. He's
smiling. Well, that
smiling.
Was always him, though. That
fair
was
enough,
always him,
fair
though.
Enough. But he's smiling,
putting
having
up great
fun,
numbers.
Putting up numbers. Mm. Who else?
God, think about it. Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo.
23 points per game now for the Pacers.
All-star.
All-star. Friends
is,
all-star.
Oh, right now... If we have to pick all-star performances...
He's in there.
He's at least in the convo.
Yeah.
Hooping. So there's a certain... And I'm not saying that... I think that it comes to a certain time in sports where, like, if you're an alpha, it might intimidate your teammates, and then they don't actually have that much fun playing with you, and they can't play to their fullest potential.
Because they're so... There's so much pressure to make sure you don't get on them.
Exactly.
That they kind of psych themselves out, I think.
And like, and some guys are good enough to make up for that psych out. Mm-hmm. Jordan was good enough to make up for the psych out. Meaning he was so elite, even though every one of his teammates was scared,
yeah,
they could still win.
But I don't, I hear where you're coming from. I don't think that's the problem in the
okay,
in
the what's OKC. The problem besides Melo? Because we know what
I think,
the real problem
is. Aside from Melo being the problem, him being the dark cloud that goes everywhere.
Bro.
I think there's too much respect there.
For Russ.
For everyone. Like, I think
everybody's
Russ
being
is trying
too polite.
He's being too polite. Like, the one time that they looked like world beaters was when they played the Warriors. And Russ was like, Russ is going to do Russ. Y'all follow me. You know what I mean? Until they all, I think they say it. Like, they say it because it's the thing you're supposed to say in the media. It's
we're
like,
here to help Russ.
We're here to help you, Russ. Yeah, but y'all don't look like it. Y'all ain't playing like that, man.
BG's trying to get his.
Yeah,
Melo's going to do whatever the fuck Melo does.
And their bench sucks. So it's like, dog, let Russ be Russ. Everybody else just follow that man's lead and stop pretending like you're a big three. You're a big 2.5.
Who's the half?
I think they're both the half.
Chill.
I think they're both the half,
chill.
Dog. I think Russ is the big two by himself.
Bro.
You know what I mean?
I think like, Melo, come on, man. Melo is just...
Paul George is good.
And
he's
Paul George will get you the playoffs.
He's a good... I think Paul George could be the ultimate 3-and-D guy if he commits himself to that. You know what I mean? I think Melo is what he is at this point.
Yeah.
I've been a Melo apologist for the past 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
He is what he is. He's a guy who could put the ball in the hoop.
A loser.
And that is it.
He'll put the ball in the hoop and your team will lose.
And you will, I guess, you will lose. You will not win many games with
that's
it.
Good.
And that's
good. But he's going to give you 25...
and mind you, they do have
points.
They have time to get it together. They have time to still... I still think they'll be a tough out in the playoffs. I just think they got to stop pretending like it's a big three and just be like, dog, you are here to help Russ. Stop trying to get yours.
I mean,
if Russ passes the ball, shoot. Defend, rebound. Let that crazy motherfucker put his head down like a bull in a china shop and just get into the paint and do what he does. Do what he did last year.
They know they're out after this season.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, they're not really committed to this. They want to inflate those numbers so they get a check come next season.
And Russ is in it for the long
haul. Russ is in it for the long haul, but like, Melo don't give a fuck. Melo's like, I need a new contract. Let me prove I can still hoop.
I think Melo gives a fuck. I think he got his money in New York. I think he thought this was going to be different.
Melo don't give a fuck. If he really cared about winning, he would go to a team where he would end up winning.
Well, he didn't have a choice. He didn't really
he
have
did.
A choice.
He could have waived his clause.
He'll have a choice this year, this offseason.
Why don't
to
you
go
just
wherever he wants.
Accept a buyout? Accept a cheap ass buyout.
Nah, that wouldn't be bad for the Knicks because we wouldn't have got cancer, wouldn't have got McDermott, wouldn't have got.
Look, I'm not even talking about Knicks. I'm not even talking about the Knicks.
Yeah, there we go again.
So I'm not even talking about the Knicks. By the way, the second we turn off this podcast, we're divvying up the money that we put into this. This is not going to no fucking charity, nothing, okay? This is just optics. I think the thing with the Knicks is. Whatever. I don't even want to talk about Melo. It depresses me. But he just.
I think Russell. The reason why they worked so well last year is because Russ didn't respect his team.
And now he's like fake respects Melo.
Yeah.
Fake respects PG. But they know they got to put up numbers so that they get a legit contract next year because that's what they both want. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the matter is it's just not going to work out like that. They got to be Russ's. They got to be Russ's sidekicks, and neither of them wants to be a sidekick.
Yeah.
They just don't.
And his game. Russ's game to me doesn't seem like the type of game that benefits guys with alpha tendencies. You know what I mean?
No.
Russ needs to be on it. Like, if Russ was on the Spurs, they'd be like 40-2 right now.
Well, here's the thing. If I actually think that his attitude intimidates betas too much.
I think so.
I think
No. I think Russ being on a team where a bunch of cancers. He was playing with 5 cancers last year. Guys who know their role.
Yeah.
We're going to play really hard for you and know that this is the Russell show.
Yeah.
And we are here for Russ.
He basically needs to play with Europeans.
Yeah.
No, real talk, because Americans got too much ego.
Mm.
And every American player, doesn't matter what part of the bench they're on, they think that they should be a starter. They should think that they should be dropping 30. And these Europeans, they grow up in this like socialist system where like everybody gets a piece of everything and we're in this together and we got to fight the good fight and you can tell them to play D and they go, well, will it help us win?
I'll tell you this. You have a point, man. You might have a point because at one point, every American basketball player was the man somewhere before they got to the NBA, right?
Yes.
In Europe, overseas, these guys could sign up pro teams when they're 16 years old.
Yeah, so they bench.
And they're not the star there.
They bench and they get benched.
They get benched.
They get
play
put on the bench
10 minutes a game, tops.
They don't care.
You know what I mean? Like,
they don't let them do that ISO one-on-one shit.
Nah,
they go, yo, you're going to play within the system. They break them early in Europe. You know what I mean? They break their will. Like, oh, you're going to be great and an individual? No, we don't do that over here
in Europe. We're about winning.
We're about
this
a team. And I'm not talking about just in basketball. I'm talking about in life. Okay. Like, they break those motherfuckers' spirits, yo. I'm telling you, these Europeans that come to America, they flourish because they're, wait a minute, I could do something for me?
We don't know.
I could be selfish?
I don't know anything about freedom.
Y'all think you got freedom because you got healthcare. You traded it.
You want to do stuff? Nah. What?
Dreams? What?
Hell no.
We don't have dreams. Go get your ass a job.
We all serve Mother Russia here. That's all we do. We serve Mother Russia. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Russ needs a play.
He needs some euros, bro. I mean, look, there's a reason Pop likes these foreign guys.
Yeah.
There's a reason Pop likes egoless guys, because you could coach them.
There's a reason why the Knicks are doing well this year, dog.
Yeah. Like,
dog, there's a bunch of European dudes who buy in.
That's it.
They buy the fuck in.
You know gotta buy. Listen, it's Belichick. Can you name a fucking all-star on the Patriots besides Tom Brady?
Not at all. Gronk. But that's it.
Gronk.
That's because he Tom Brady throws for him. That's it.
But it's like, you know, real talk, you get people to buy into the system and it can work. Yeah. Now, can you win? That's another thing. I think you need elite talent to win. I don't think Pop can get out of the West.
But that's why the Warriors are so good, though, because they play like a European team. But when it's showtime, I can give it to KD or I give it to Steph.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They buy in.
Before even KD got there, I can give it to Steph Curry, like, yo, it's your show.
Cook.
Go win us this game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and they bought in. Every good team outside of, I guess, like the Super Heat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is a team that bought in.
You got to buy in.
Championship, you know what I mean? So.
All right. We've been talking too seriously about sports. We need to add some levity to it.
This is true.
Let's talk about how the Nigerian freak, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, almost knocked his coach the fuck out. This is a brave-ass coach, yo.
Yo.
So I don't know if you guys saw this clip, but it was going around. Basically, Giannis, I don't know, what he gets blocked or he turns it over or something like that.
I don't know what happened. Can we pull up that clip? This is the clip right here?
Positive? Okay.
Yeah, let's pull this up. Let's see exactly what happened there.
So basically,
Donovan Mitchell. Now all of a sudden Utah not knocking
okay.
out threes
like they did. Oh. It's like a lazy turnover right here.
This is a big steal, Steve. Utah.
Oh,
he didn't run back on D.
Two things. So Giannis gets the ball stolen and then doesn't get back on D.
Oh, and he threw the chair on the floor.
Yeah.
Following the Giannis turnover. I'll fuck you up.
So Giannis turns the ball over and then doesn't get back on DV.
Talk about. You bought that screen grab, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this kid. That was probably like everybody. Utah fan behind, like, oh my God, this giant African man.
So basically Giannis said, the coach, I guess, comes down on him. Giannis gets out of his chair and goes, I will fuck you up.
That's the most Nigerian shit I've ever seen, by the way. If you didn't believe Giannis was Nigerian before this clip, that, you know, really what? Solidified it.
This,
I'm that, fucking okay. up. So I'm going to blame it on you. And I'm fighting the first person that I see.
See, that's funny that you say he's Nigerian, because at this moment, I realized, like, he became American. And I've lived in another country. When I feel like you really adapt to the culture when you start cursing in their language, in that language.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because your most natural instinct when you're upset is to say the shit language. Is most comfortable, right? Yeah. And he didn't just say, I would fuck you up. This motherfucker said, I'm gonna fuck you up. Yeah. Like he learned that somewhere.
Difference.
There's a very, like, I'm gonna fuck you up is your brother pranks you and you're realizing what happened in the moment as, like, you know, a water balloon is dripping down your shirt and you're like, did you just, oh, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Fuck you up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like he had one of those moments where, like, he goes, no, I think I'm gonna, I've made this decision and you're about to get fucked up by me. And he just naturally came at it in English.
Yeah.
This guy might, you know, he, welcome to Milwaukee, bro.
I don't know, bro. It's like Giannis has, what happened to, like, I'm still thinking of fun loving Giannis from, like, telling knock knock jokes on day.
He's so real Giannis.
And it's,
man,
like, no, that's the dichotomy of being a Nigerian, man. Like, you have,
kid,
those,
tell us what it's,
you
about,
you have those extremes, dude. Like,
what are,
yo,
the extremes? You want to help people, you want to take old, listen, people's social security.
We're super.
How do you balance that?
Listen, man, like, Nigerian men, you know, we are known for our tempers.
Really?
You know what I mean? Known for our tempers, and that's only because you see the other side all the time, where you charming, nice, happy-go-lucky, yada, yada, yada. Very laid back, very this, very that. But when that switch is flipped, Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It is on like motherfucking popcorn at that point. And I saw the Nigerian rage come out of him.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing that I could have thought after I saw that altercation.
What was that?
Giannis to the Knicks in 2020.
Wow.
That's it.
A dollar. Let's go.
Come to New York, Giannis.
Wow, he might be too big for
Milwaukee. You can yell at Kurt Rambis all you want, goddamn.
That's right.
Matter of fact, you can fuck up Kurt Rambis if you want to.
I will hold him.
I'm totally
okay with that. Yeah, this was his, like, put some mustard on it moment.
Yeah.
Remember with Latrell? We like players that fight their coaches.
We love that shit.
We picked up Latrell right after he choked his fucking coach up.
Dude, I went to the finals afterwards, too.
I'm with it. Maybe that's what the coach said. He was like, yo, Chobani yogurt is trash. He was like, what? Did you say Greek Chobani yogurt is trash? What? I'm going to fuck you up, man.
That's how we don't run back on defense. Exactly. You're getting no souvlaki.
There's no souvlaki. There's no tzatziki. None of that shit.
No jollof. None of that shit. It's quiet for you.
Play some fucking defense.
God damn.
Stop working out the Pythagorean theorem.
Not for nothing. Like, I'm the Greek freak, right? If there's one thing that you could count on Giannis to be, he's the hardest playing, probably one of the hardest playing superstars in the NBA right now. He will dunk on one end, block a shot the next end,
get another dunk.
Like, he covers the floor like nobody has ever seen. Who the fuck is this assistant coach to come and tell me when I'm not hustling, when I'm not doing this, when I'm not doing that? You know what? Fuck you. I'm going to fuck you.
You need to be coachable, bro.
I mean, he's probably the most coachable dude. He was, what was he? He was like 6'10", rail thin, a buck 90 when he came into the league. Now he's a tank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, learn, like, you know, like, dog, he has every right.
No. If you can't tell him he fucked up, then you can never criticize him at all.
No. Jason Kidd could tell me I fucked up.
Oh, so you're saying there's a certain level coach can't come down on him.
It's like, shut the fuck up, assistant coach. Who the hell are you?
So assistant coaches are just there to rebound.
Dude, if I'm the GM right there, I'm making up his walking papers right that moment.
Yo, here's an interesting
moment. I'm calling Dave Fizdale right now. Be like, you just got fired by the Grizzlies? Come coach Giannis, bro.
So here's an interesting moment right there for this team, which is like, if that coach gets fired, every other coach is afraid to say anything.
So?
To Giannis.
So what?
You can't have that environment, yo. You
happy go lucky Giannis.
Would that happen on the Spurs? If he yelled at an assistant on the Spurs, you think Pop's putting up with that?
Pop's not putting up with that, but if assistant coach Joe Blow is telling me the best thing that's happened to our franchise since like Ray Allen and Sam Cassell, and I'm yelling at him, and who knows what the coach said to him that really pissed him off. You know what I mean? Like,
he might have been talking shit.
He might have said something. He might have said something flagrant.
What do you think he said? Say it.
Probably said Ghanaian jollof rice is better than Nigerian jollof rice. And he probably flipped out. I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, listen, you're an assistant coach. Like the great prophet LeVar Ball says, stay in your fucking lane, bro. Stay in your fucking lane. I got this superstar player in this small market town. The best thing that happened to our team in the goddamn 20 years.
You need to butter him up.
You butter him the hell up. Don't you? I'm firing that assistant coach that day. You know what? I'm not going to fire him for what he said. I'm going to wait for him to do something else
and
stupid.
And then you fire him.
And then fire him so it doesn't look crazy. I'm like, who told you to leave the seat up in the bathroom in the locker room? God, you're fired. Yeah.
Because you could lose the fucking team.
You got to fight. Exactly. You got to. You got to, dog. You got to. Listen, the NBA, as unfair as it sounds, it's a players' league, dog. It's a players' league.
But the teams that play well are coaches' teams.
Yeah, but still.
So
coaches ain't out there playing.
Right, but if you want to have a consistently good team, you have that culture starts from top down, and if you don't back up your coach and you back up the organization, you're going to be fucked.
In a perfect world, that sounds good. But
honestly, look at the ones that play well. You know what I mean? It's like you look at football, you look at the Patriots, and you look at basketball, you look at the Spurs, you even look at Dallas. I mean, they're playing shitty this year, but Dallas had a great run with like not tons of talent, but they're 100% behind weird-ass Carlisle, and that trickles down.
All right, but
and the best player buys in.
Okay.
So maybe I need him to have the maturity of, I need him, if you're our best player and you're our superstar, I need you to have the maturity to go, you know what, coach, you're right. Because now that coach can yell at everybody else. Tim Duncan ain't doing that shit. Tim Duncan would get screamed at by the coaches and he'd take it.
But we're talking about Giannis right here. We're not talking about
a Nigerian who can't control his temper.
Can't control his temper. Like, I know. What a shocking development. I understand. But my thing is like, well, Giannis, listen, if I'm a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, say, you know, and mind you, Giannis is never even, like, this is why it's a story, because it's like fun-loving Giannis, yelling, telling the coach he's going to fuck him up, you know what I mean? So I'm willing to bet that he errs on the right side of coach's behavior than not, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm a fan, right?
You got to approach Giannis different. If I'm a fan of the Bucks,
and my GM says, yeah, we're punishing Giannis and we're taking our coach's side, assistant coach West Bubblefuck, I don't know what the fuck his name is, over the Nigerian freak.
Tough situation.
Nah, bro.
It's risky because he could be like, oh, you want to ride with the coaches over us? Like, well, okay, then I'm out.
Bet. It's like, well, no. Keep that same energy in 2 years and my contract's up.
Boom. All right. No, it's a good point. You got to approach him differently. You got to hit him up the way he would.
Yeah, you gotta, and that's part of coaching, honestly.
Yeah.
That's part of coaching is knowing how to approach people. Like, you can't just be
rah-rah,
shiskoomba to every single player because some players don't react well to that.
No, that's true. He's not going to react well to it. Nah. You got to figure out what he fucking reacts to.
And the funny shit is, like, Giannis still could have punched him in the face from that, as far as the coach is.
Oh, yeah.
He still could have.
That coach wasn't scared. He could have
slapped him in the back of the ear, like, motherfucker.
No, that coach wasn't scared, though. He didn't back down.
He yelled right back at him.
Yeah, he got some Scott Skiles in him.
I mean, he ain't stupid. He's seen there's a lot of people in front of him. He's not going to.
And Giannis isn't punching shit.
No, you're right.
Yeah, you got to hit it. You got to go to Giannis. You can be like, yo, Giannis, knock, knock.
But I don't know, man. He's could never. Here's my thing. You remember early this season when Mirotic and Bobby Portis got to that fight?
Yeah.
And nobody's heard from Mirotic since.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what was said between those people.
This kid.
Nobody knows what was said between those people to start that practice fight.
I know what happened in that fight.
What do you think happened?
Well, from what I heard, I had some folks on the ground. But basically, they've been going back and forth for, you know, starting since they were jawing a bunch. And they were just going back and forth in practice. They were playing, and I think in a scrimmage. And then it was either Portis or Mirotic hit a three in the other person's face.
Mm-hmm.
They were just jawing, and there was one push, and then another push, and then Portis just dropped it.
And nothing was said. All right, so.
But they've been jawing for a minute. Like, these are two guys that have been fighting over a starting spot for a while. This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Gotcha. See, that's not as interesting as what I thought.
But Mirotic thought it was like, oh, Mirotic thought it was this situation.
Like, fuck you, nigga.
No, that's what I thought happened. It was literally just like Mirotic thought that we're just going to do that pushing and shoving thing that I see on TV all the time. And Bobby Portis is like, I'm from America. You know what I mean? Like, it comes to a certain point in time where you're getting knocked out, and he knocked him out. But I mean, Portis must have been hated Mirotic. Think about how much you're going to resent this guy.
Yeah.
You think that you're better than him.
Yeah.
You think that you should be the starting player on the team, right? And this guy's getting everything. He's the doll of the franchise. Like, we got to build around him. You're like, fuck this motherfucker. I bust his ass every single time during practice. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I don't know, man. My thing with him is, like, I didn't even need to know the story behind that to know that Mirotic was in the wrong. Because whoever
punches it in the wrong.
Not even that, but like whoever the team, you know, you could tell Bobby Portis, well, he had to sit out like 4 or 5 games after that.
Yeah.
He broke a guy's jaw. He broke his jaw.
You can't break the best player on your team's jaw.
And mind you, the Bulls suck already.
They suck. Like, but imagine someone broke Giannis's jaw. Imagine what's his face. What's the guy's name on the team who keeps tearing his ACLs?
Because
he's too thick.
Was it Bledsoe? Not Bledsoe.
No. He's a power forward. He's actually really good.
Oh, Jabari Parker.
Jabari. So imagine Jabari knocked out Giannis and broke his jaw.
Oh, gosh.
Now, Mirotic isn't as good as Giannis, but it's still Jabari's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only reason we think that it's not, it's Mirotic's fault because he's not that good.
Yeah, but
so like, I guess you got to be a certain level of good in order to not get punched.
When you're a star player, you're allowed a lot of wrong decisions.
Yo, Steve Kerr punched Jordan.
Yeah, he did.
That's wrong. What if you broke Jordan's jaw? Now your franchise is.
But Jordan respected him after that.
Say what?
Jordan respected him after that.
I don't know if he did.
He had to.
I think he's passing him that ball regardless. you know, to hit the shot. Like, it's not like Kerr got better at shooting after that.
Right? Like maybe he did.
Nah, like this
maybe,
is how,
maybe the team
is a
just
psychopath.
Like, maybe the team just like fucking shunned him after the like all the Jordan people's over there and all he had to do was just shoot by himself.
There's always that thing like, oh, if you stand up to the bully, then he's going to be. But like certain people don't care. Like a lot of countries stand up to America.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They still like, get bombed.
We're still bombing you, fam. Like, tell that to Afghanistan, right? They're like, no, all you got to do is stand up.
Yeah.
No. Now you
George
got
Bush
no
wasn't
government.
Like, yeah, we respect Afghanistan. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like,
no, Afghanistan's that. Tough. We're going to leave
them
alone.
Nah, let's just flat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That happened.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
So that's why you got to be careful.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
But shout out to Giannis. Keep it real Nigerian, bro. Keep
Yo,
that same energy.
That watch your attitude. Okay, so there are a couple ways we go. I really want to talk. There's Ray Allen.
Oh Jesus!
Trying to butter up, dude. That's such a weird story. There's D Rose's future, but then there's also this really interesting Minnesota versus Alabama basketball game.
Oh yeah,
that a lot of people probably saw. And basically, what happened is this college basketball game, and Minnesota and Alabama got into a fight, and the entire Alabama bench, I guess, came off the bench, and they got ejected.
Mm-hmm.
Another player got ejected. And they were down to 5 versus 4, and then one player fouled out.
Fouled
so they
out.
Were down to 5 versus 3, and I think they played the whole, like, last 12 minutes
last
or something 12 like
minutes,
that.
Last 12 minutes, yeah.
5-3. So Minnesota had 5 players. Alabama had 3 players. And in this last 12 minutes, Alabama outscores Minnesota. I think it's 29-21 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They outscored them. Now, they lose the game. But only by 5, but they actually make a comeback down 5-3. Now, Minnesota's coach is Rick Pitino Jr.
Mm.
You know who was in the stands?
Who?
Rick Pitino Sr. My boy was at this game. He tells me that Rick Pitino Sr. is screaming timeout from the fourth row for his son. He's trying to step in and stop the massacre. Like this is like akin to like the movie 300. Remember when the Spartans fought that whole army?
And you know, and burying the lead here a little bit. I'm trying to pull up this kid's name because I need to know this kid's name. What is it?
Oh, the kid who played on the Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton.
Yeah, this kid there is unbelievable. This Colin Sexton.
Mind you, on Minnesota, you know who else plays for Minnesota? Isaiah Washington. Jelly Fam kid, the guy who invented Jelly Fam in Harlem, whatever, during the Mason Cameron battle.
Small, he's like 5'9 or something like that.
Freshman year, freshman point guard, all is a very hyped up guard from Minnesota.
Was he still on the team?
He's still on the team, yeah. He played pretty well too, and this is like his big like coming home to New York type of thing, right?
Well, no, this game is in Portland.
Yeah. Wasn't that Barclays?
No.
I thought it was in Barclays.
No, I think it was Portland.
No, it was in Barclays.
I'm almost positive.
The Portland one was that was Duke, North Carolina. Oh, okay, yeah. This one was a Barclays. So so Curtis Samuel wasn't it?
Colin Sexton. Yeah.
Drops 40 points.
Okay. He dropped 28 of those or something like that, or 26 of those points when they were 5-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing. Everybody but those 3 players loses their scholarship.
Facts.
I'm taking away every, because when we had 5 players on the floor, we were doing worse. So you just being on the floor as an offensive and defensive player hurts our chances of winning.
That's got to be the greatest plus minus
in the history of basketball. So from now on, nobody shoots but Colin Sexton. Nobody's allowed to even shoot. There was another kid on the team, Petty or something like that. No.
Screw him.
Here's my thing.
And the kid is highly, highly touted recruit.
Yeah.
Freshman dude.
Yeah.
Projected to go top 10 in the NBA draft this year.
Yeah.
This is before he drops 40 going 3-on-5 against a nationally ranked college team. If you're a pro scout, how do you not take this kid number one after that? Well,
I mean, it's unbelievable what happened. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Well, okay, first of all, you have to at least put him in the top 10 now.
Oh, yeah. He was already top 10 before.
He's already top 10. Maybe you got to push him down to top 5. I mean, immense talent, a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm. Plays both sides of the ball, apparently.
Clearly.
Plays a lot of defense.
They played that triangle. I want to go into what we would have done in this situation in a second, but I just want to get a couple things out. One, first of all, Rick Pitino Jr., Minnesota's coach. I would rather have a coach that knew about Sandusky, having sex with these kids than a coach that can't beat a team 5-on-3.
That is fucking embarrassing, dude.
I mean, how do you not get fired?
How do you?
That is a fireable offense to lose a lead and lose the portion of the game that you play. I mean, think, and no strategy whatsoever. They were taking contested twos. You put the white boy in that's at the end of the bench. Every college team has one. There's a white guy that looks just like me. He sits at the end of the bench and he roots the team on, but he is a knockdown three-point
shooter.
He's
only on the team to hit threes.
Exactly. He walked on. He was great. He played in this obscure high school in North Dakota and he scored 100 points a game, but nobody knew about it. And he walks on the team because he's wet. He can't play D for his fucking life, but that kid is automatic.
Yeah.
You put him in the corner and you let him go off.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you do. It's a very simple strategy. You're playing against this triangle zone. It's just mind-boggling to me. And anybody who doesn't play that gets kicked out of the game.
I don't know.
Anybody who doesn't let that white boy shoot gets kicked out of the game. And the other thing I would have done is this. Cherry-picked.
Thanks.
I would have made them play 4-on-2. I would have kept one guy under the basket the entire
after
game.
After every missed shot.
Exactly. Because you're not going to leave a dude back there.
No. It should have been a dunk contest after that game. Like, I don't understand.
It's mind-boggling.
I don't understand.
What would your strategy be?
My strategy would have been play 3-on-3 on defense, keep one person at half court, one person at the opposite baseline.
What does the half court person do?
The half court person gets the first pass and then he throws it down for a layup each and every time. It should have been a dunk contest.
Interesting.
That entire game. You know what I mean? If somebody happens to be back there, kick it up to your white boy for three.
That's
if not
it.
Dunk. Like, this isn't rocket science, bro. This 5-on-5 for a reason. And it's like, what were people like? I didn't watch too much of the game to see, like, were people just going 1-on-1 and trying to show off?
It wasn't even show off. They just were so poorly coached that they didn't know what the fuck to do in this situation.
They deserve to lose that game.
Bro, I'm not going
to
lie.
They deserve to lose that game. I was rooting for them to lose this game.
I've lost one of those games.
Really?
It was fucking heartbreaking.
Against who? Like, how?
We played intramural basketball, UC Santa Barbara. And, you know, when you play in college, you play intramurals, you play in your good team and your bum team.
Yeah.
So you have your friends who are bums at basketball, but you play with them so that they have a guy who could hoop.
Yeah.
And I was playing on my bum team, and we were playing against this fraternity that was just trying to win the division.
Mm.
Like, all three of those guys played high school ball. They were good. And I was playing with a bunch of kids who played like soccer. They're like 5'7". You know, like, they don't know how to play basketball, but they know the rules.
Yeah.
So it was a fun little bonding experience. And they only had three people, and they saw us, and they were going to cancel the game. They're like, no, we'll play it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, gosh.
And I'm telling you, we were so bad. I was so infuriated that they actually beat us.
Nah, it has to be violence after that.
Son.
It would have to be violence.
They would have beat us up, too. There were little kids on the team. There's little guys. You know, I had literally me and maybe one other person was there. And we played a zone. I doubled.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll play 1-on-1 against one of their guys.
Yeah.
And then you guys just double.
Still.
We couldn't score.
They were locking you up.
I'm the only one that could score. The rest of them, I'm giving them wide open shots, but they can't hit wide open shots. So it's like, they only have to defend the rim.
They just defended you and got the rebound and just pushed it.
Bro, I was getting PTSD watching this game. I was having flashbacks, bro. It was shot. Yeah, stop it. Don't do it. miss a contested two.
Waking up in cold sweats.
Oh, dude. Just brutal.
Oh, man. That's terrible. But, I mean, shout out to Alabama, dog. They were, they beasted.
They beat you.
Shout out to them, bro.
All right, Derrick Rose, is he walking away from $80 million? That's really what this is about.
That's what it's all about.
Let's keep it honest.
Yeah. So,
what is this really about?
So apparently, if you guys haven't heard, Derrick Rose is, you know, another ankle injury, and apparently he's taking a mental toll on him, and there's word that he's thinking about walking away from the game. And on the surface, that seems like, okay, well, you know.
But what else is he walking away from, Cass?
Like, what is he walking away from? Adidas, in his contract, if he willingly retires, he would forego a fortune.
$80 million
of Adidas money.
I think it's $80 million, right?
It's something like that. I think it's 80 or 60 million. It's a lot of goddamn money.
And what does the contract stipulate? It's like, we pay you as long as you're playing basketball.
Yeah, like, I don't think it has to be like a forced retirement. It can't just be like, If it's something where like he breaks his leg or something and like and he just physically can't do it no more.
Or he can't make a team.
The fact that he came out and said like mentally I can't do this anymore and he's still kind of able, I guess somewhere in his contract was like, nah, dude, it doesn't cover the statute of limitations on that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's not really being talked about a lot. But like on the outside looking in, understood. Derrick Rose at one time was the best point guard in the NBA, MVP, an athletic freak. Yes. And ever since then, he's just been we got his last good year in New York, and he's just been an absolute shell of himself just athletically and just can't seem to stay healthy.
Yep.
He signed a minimum to the Cavs to kind of prove to,
the league and himself
that he can still play.
Yep.
And another injury hits him, and it's like, okay, if this is anybody else, if this is like Brandon Roy, like when Brandon Roy kept getting hurt and it was like, damn, all right, it's cool, man. Like you've done all you can. Like it's understandable. Brandon Roy didn't have this Adidas money that was sitting over him. Like people forget Derrick Rose at one point was to Adidas what like Allen Iverson was to Reebok at one point. Like, every signature shoe, he was the face of that brand.
His shoes were selling more than KD's.
Yeah, he's still the face of that brand. I went to Vegas this past year to do the Big 3 event or whatever, and he still has his own signature shoe. He still gets his own, segment with all like the big Adidas guys, with your Hardens, your Porzingis's, your Wiggins, all that type of stuff. Derrick Rose still gets, his big time to shine under Adidas because they invested a lot of money into him.
They're contractually obligated to give him a new shoe every year.
Every year. And he'd be walking away from a ton of money if...
And you're saying you understand him wanting to walk away?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do.
So... So here's the thing.
What's up?
Check your fucking ego. Not you, Derrick Rose.
Derrick, yeah.
You're out of your fucking mind, Derrick Rose. Oh, it's hard because I can't play at the same level that I used to play at. I haven't been able to play at the same level that I used to play at, okay? And it was very difficult for me to accept this. But then I started to learn how to put a little extra arc on my layups. I started to learn maybe how to get in the post a little bit. And I started to work on my jump shot. Derrick Rose has not worked on his jump shot. He's being lazy. He wants to play the same game he's always played. And the reality of the matter is, as your body starts to deteriorate and break down, you have to change your game. The greats do it. Yeah. Jordan did it. This idea that your ego, because this is all it comes down to, you're tired of people thinking, oh, he gets injured all the time. You're tired of the tweets. You're tired of the Instagram posts. Oh, this guy can't do it. His body is made out of this, whatever. This. You know what makes that a lot better for me?
$80 million.
I get criticized every single day on the internet. Oh, you got a big nose, da, 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 this, that, the other. I don't get any $80 million for it. But if I did, I'll tell you what, all I'd take is pictures of my nostrils every fucking day. I swear to God on my life, they're $80 million. It is an ego thing. Now, he must be independently wealthy that we don't know about. But as far as I'm concerned, you only got one big contract.
Yeah, he has one big contract from Chicago and it just ran out this past year.
All right, so you got one big contract. It's not like you're crazy mm-hmm. breaded. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else is going on. All I'm saying is for $80 million, all you got to do is travel around the country, shoot basketballs a little bit.
He has a kid, man. He has a kid that he loves very much. Remember, he no-showed that next game one time and just because it was the first time he was like truly away from his son.
You think you're the only one that loves your kid? And you're the only one that loves your kid, bro.
You got to explain to your kid, like, listen, you like all these Xbox and PS4s
that you have in the house? So like, take your kid to hang out with his cousin,
like
who
this big ass house we live in.
Whose dad isn't in the NBA.
Yeah.
And see if he likes that weekend. See if he likes that weekend, the quarter water weekend. See if he likes that. The government cheese weekend. See if he likes that shit. He's not going to like it. He's going to, you know what, Dad? I understand you might have to rock out in the league for 6 more years, and then you could spend pretty much the rest of my life with me and hanging out.
Because little Derek's going to grow up one day and be like, well, you gave up how much for what?
Yeah. Little Derek's going to get his first job making $9 an hour and go, I'm sorry. You That's didn't want to play.
We did not talk about people's kids on the show. My bad. We did not talk about people's kids on
First
the show.
First of all,
show.
What is wrong with, we're talking about his kid judging him. We're talking about Derek. We're making his kid be the most logical and reasonable person in the league. His kid is going to have a real job. Yeah. I don't mean a real job because his dad can't afford it. Mm. I mean, he's going to have to work. All kids
One
end
day
up
he's
working.
Gonna do it. Yeah,
and he's going to learn the value of a dollar. I remember when I learned the value of a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That should change everything. Mm-hmm. When I had to earn $15, all of a sudden, a jersey that cost $30 was 2 hours of work. It wasn't, mom, can I have a jersey? Yeah. It was, is this jersey worth those 2 hours of work? Yeah. All I'm saying is once his son feels that, he's going to have to sit down with his dad. Look, I know you love me, but that was a dumbass decision, bro. We didn't even hang out that much. I was playing video games.
I didn't really know you like that, bro.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
but here's my thing.
Imagine how upset he'd be at his kid when his kid's like, Dad, can I go spend a weekend with my friends? Fuck that weekend with you. I'm here to hang out with you. We're going together. I just gave up $80 million so I can spend time with you. You want to hang out with your friends on the weekend? No. When we go to your friends. Where are we going?
Where are we headed?
Where are we headed?
All that shit. No, it's sad though, man. Like, it's really sad because I don't think we've ever seen a case like Derrick Rose's before. Like, as far as like an MVP that yeah, he was the youngest MVP ever at one point. Where it's like you see somebody
who broke down.
Hmm. I mean, like the closest thing I could come to was like Grant Hill, and even Grant Hill had a pretty nice second half of his career without being the superstar we all thought he was going to be.
Yep.
He still was never an MVP.
Yep.
Derrick Rose was the most valuable player yep. in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah,
and now he can't even get on the floor without getting hurt.
I mean, how bad did he turn his ankle?
It had to be pretty bad.
It can't be about the ankle.
It had to be pretty bad. I mean, you know what? I think there's a lot more to the story.
There has to be more. I do think that he's preparing for the inevitability that when Isaiah comes back, he's not going to get the minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is him.
And they're not going to re-sign him. He's on a one-year deal.
He's on a
prove-it deal.
And so he's trying to prove, and now he's not healthy enough to prove.
Mm.
And once Isaiah comes back, he ain't gonna get the minutes to prove.
Nah. But here's my thing, man. It's like, I'd
be
fucked up if I was
losing
them,
when
dude.
He was playing with them.
They were playing bad, but I'm thinking, like, yo, I was on the Knicks last. And this is one thing we don't really talk about a lot. Like, the Knicks are a better team this year without Melo, but also without D Rose. And it's like, yeah, D Rose wasn't that hurt last year. He averaged 18 a game, he was one of the best finishers in the league. At his position, like,
and then when he was playing with the Cavs, he put up good numbers.
Yeah,
and they were losing the second he hits the bench. All of a sudden, 7-game win streak.
He was Ha Ha Davis, man. He was like, "Oh, I'm about to go play with LeBron. It's about to be a breeze."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
I just left
basketball purgatory in New York. I'm about to go play with the best player in the world. It's about to be a breeze.
Yeah,
and then this happens. I feel him, man.
Don't play with LeBron if you can't shoot.
Facts.
Dwayne Wade is tough.
It's that simple, man.
It's like, if you got a great jumper, you will be a spectacular player.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't shoot, we don't got room for you over here.
It's gonna be hard for you on this version of LeBron James. Maybe the Miami Heat version when he was super athletic and you know, he could, you know, and Dwayne Wade is super athletic.
Dwayne was so elite that he's gonna get his buckets.
He's gonna get
regardless.
His regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, not this version of LeBron. This version of LeBron, you gotta be able to knock down some shots.
You gotta, and IT could do that. That's why I'm okay with that. IT can hit that open jumper.
Oh, for
easy.
Sure.
That's light
for down. Sure, for sure. He's gonna light it up when he starts playing for Cleveland. But I just think that, man, I think it sucks more because, like, he was the Knick last year.
Yeah.
And hold on a second. I think it sucks more because he was a Knick last year and you kind of saw, you know, the ups and downs of that season.
Yeah.
And seeing that, oh, okay, Derrick could still go.
Yeah.
Like, he had certain flashes of brilliance throughout the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I have a soft spot for him where it's like, damn, when you know you could still do this mentally. And your body's just like, no, bro, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. It's got to be frustrating, man. I got frustrated that I can't, like, run 10 miles anymore.
Bro.
You know what I mean? And it's
dude,
like, fuck.
It's brutal. This aging process is fucking brutal.
It's brutal for anyone.
Dude, it is. And especially if you're grew up athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just got a trainer right now, and I'm going to work with him 3 days a week. And it's just to, like, I'm not trying to get to the point where I'm fucking yamming it during a game.
No.
But I want to get to a point where I feel like I can go out there and compete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can have a similar type of game. My ankles aren't breaking. And I can't imagine the stress that you put on your body when you're a professional athlete, especially the way he plays.
Yeah. I mean, I was an all right basketball player. I'd never claimed to be like an elite dude, like when I was like in good shape. But one thing I thought I was really good, I thought I was really athletic. I can go dunk. That was my shit.
Yeah,
like, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Throw it up to me, I'll go get it, right?
Boom, yeah.
I could still kind of dunk, but it's a sad dunk. Yeah. It's a sad dunk. Like, yeah, I got to go up 2 feet. I got to make sure I got the right palm on the ball.
You need some spark.
I got to do that little stutter step before you jump. Like, it is sad, man. And even in my head, I'm like, damn,
that
this used to be.
Stutter step is so true.
It's so sad. And I used to be. That used to
doesn't
be light
make us jump higher, but for some reason, we take a little pitter patter.
It's terrible. It's sad. It's sad. So I obviously, and we were not Derrick Rose athletes. We were not people who, since, I don't know, however long Derrick Rose, since like kindergarten, you know what I mean? You're this, all you know is basketball. All you know is this sport. And that's going to happen to every athlete. Every athlete that has that, you know, to face that mortality of their career.
Yeah.
And thinking that they can still do it. And like, you know, it's never, you're never the first person to tell yourself you can still do it. Look at Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, it's always... Everybody else sees
it. Like when you're a famous rapper or even a famous actor, like you're the last person that knows you fell off.
Yeah.
Because when you go in the street, you get so much love still.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the guys from New York Undercover are celebs still in New York.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like Malik Yoba hasn't
paid for a drink
first
in
of all,
decades.
I fuck with Malik heavy. I love Malik. You know what I mean? And Malik's like a real New Yorker. You know, he grew up in Harlem, you know? And it's like, but he goes out in the street and he gets love, dude.
Yeah.
Because we fuck with him so heavy from New York Undercover. That being said, he hasn't been in like a serious movie or some shit in a minute. This guy was, I have pride, I have power, I'm a badass mother that don't take no shit from nobody. And, you know what I mean? And Cool Runnings, like, this was the dude when we were growing up.
Oh my God, bro.
I guarantee you can't tell Malik that he fell off.
No.
I guarantee. It's like you learn late.
It's never... It's rare when you're that self-aware. Like, first off, being self-aware is a quality in itself that a lot of people don't have. But especially when you have been the man for your whole
life,
than your whole life.
Yeah, man.
What is he, like 28 years old?
You get used to it. You get used to being a man.
What is he, 28 years old? He's probably been playing ball since he was, what, like 11, 12? That's more than half your life. That's more than half your life. You don't know anything else but being the man.
Bro. That's the thing that's so hard about these athletes, man. I've thought about this. I've talked to friends about this. It's like they're wildly insecure because on some level they know this is the only thing they're good at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why making a team, why they cry, even though they know they're going to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They're still emotional, especially you look at like football players. They get emotional. It's like, you knew you were going to get drafted. You're the best. But there's this emotion because they're like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
I have no other skill. I didn't focus in school, majority of them didn't mm-hmm. focus in school. I didn't take education seriously. I've literally dedicated every moment of my life to getting good at this one thing.
Yeah.
If I don't make that team, where the fuck do I go? What the fuck do I do?
You have no.
That's a crisis.
You're 19, 20 years old. You have nothing on your resume.
What if you're 30? That's even harder. Yeah. You're 30. Now you're out the league. It's not like, oh, I can't play ball anymore. It's like, what am I good at?
Mm-hmm.
The one value that I had in the world for people was playing basketball. Yeah. Now I no longer have that.
Yeah.
What do I do with my life?
And that's why people hold on so long, man, because they're still trying to figure it out.
I get it completely. Like, first of all, why do you stay around so long? Millions of dollars.
That's a great reason.
There are people that stay in a job until they're 60 years old for a pension of 40 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that you wouldn't stay on a basketball bench for millions? That's an absurd thing to compare.
Oh, there's a lot of things that I don't even know what I won't do for an NBA contract. Like, anything outside of butt stuff, I would do for one.
Define NBA the butt contract. Stuff. Do I just gotta open it?
Nah.
If I just gotta open the chin, you look in, and you just gotta look at it, that's fine. If I would let a dude spank my ass for an NBA contract.
For an NBA contract?
Like this, a hard one, like pop, like that, like a real hard, leave a print on it. Like a print, you can spank my ass.
You can videotape it too.
I'll post it while I'm signing the contract. You can spank my ass. And then you can fire me the next day as long as I got that 200 mil.
I'll make this guaranteed?
Listen,
Thank you.
You're telling me you wouldn't do it? You know what I always say to people when they're like, oh, I wouldn't do that for that amount of money? I was like, what about the starving kids? You know what I mean? Stop thinking about yourself, you selfish motherfucker. You wouldn't get a spanking ass to feed the starving kids?
Bro, yeah, like, don't do it for yourself.
Do it for Flint.
Do it for Flint. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Do it for Flint water, bro. Get them some clean-ass Voss. Get a Voss faucet.
You're a terrible person.
Get a faucet. Get a faucet going in Flint.
A faucet?
A faucet. That's that Voss water right from the tap.
Oh, my God, man.
Anyway, bro, we got to roll. I got to go to that next game.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to head to this game. What do we got, man?
Plug some tings, bro. You got
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. This Saturday.
The big one.
Henny Palooza. We are coming home. Terminal 5, December 2nd. It is the biggest indoor Henny Palooza we've ever had. Expecting 5,000 people. Tickets are still available at hennypalooza.com/tickets. VIP tickets are sold out. You can still get some GAs. Goddamn. Listen to Satori Radio every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wrestle Rap Podcast on the MLW Network with my boy Emilio Sparks every Saturday. We might have some good news at the top of 2018.
Man, we might. Let's hope.
I don't like to speak of blessings before they happen.
Yeah, but
so.
Flagrant 2 crew, listen. Flagrant 2 crew, just listen. Thank you for our support. And
Dead
we're
ass.
Gonna do some big things with that support. We're gonna reward that support. Put
facts,
it that way.
Facts. It's been a crazy, is this fair to say? Like, I don't think we've seen the sports podcast get this big this fast.
No, never.
Like, in this climate where, like, everyone has a sports podcast. But
never.
You guys have supported the fuck out of this thing, and people are taking notice. So that's all I'm going to say for right now. But if you know somebody who hasn't listened to Flagrant 2, tell them about it. The bigger we get, the better shows we can give you, the more surprises we can do. And 2018 should be a big year. That's all I'm gonna say right now.
Amen to that. I got some shows coming up. You can get the tickets and the links at theandrewschultz.com or find out where they're gonna be. But I'll tell you right now, I'm gonna be at the 8th and the 9th of December in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey at Bananas Comedy Club. I'm gonna be January 18th, January 11th through 13th at Rochester, at the Carlson in Rochester, New York. Then January 18th through 21st, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. Improv. Then March 15th through 17th, I'm going to be at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Rutgers, show up. And then I'm going to be back in New York. That's right. I'm going to be the 13th through the 14th of April at Gotham Comedy Club. So make sure you go check that out. Obviously, check out There's Johnny on Hulu. If you haven't already, get that free trial. Watch it, then cancel that bitch. I don't give a fuck, but make sure you watch it. And, thank you guys so much for supporting this. Tell a friend. Tell the mundo.
Oh,
tell
man.
It all.
And shout out to our boy, Akash.
Oh,
make
yeah.
sure you watch the American Daisy
podcast.
Yes, support that.
And make sure that you wish Akash well, man. He's a little bit sick right now.
Yeah, so tweet him. Instagram him. Hit him with a comment. Give him some.
Let me see if we could call him and we can get his sick ass up.
Let's
right
see if
now.
He's still on the good yeah. drugs.
I
right
totally
now.
Forgot to call his ass. My bad.
It's all good.
Yo, hey. What's up, Cuck?
I'm sober.
You're off the Propofol.
Yeah, man, he missed all the fun.
Damn, bro. Akash does get lit. I remember once he had caffeine and this dude was wilding, bro. He's got, Akash don't drink, smoke, nothing. He had a cup of coffee and he was bugging out.
I had half a Red Bull once and I slapped my cousin in his face.
Yo, we missed you, bro.
I know, Doug. I miss being there. Wish you had called me when I was high. It was beautiful.
I know. Well, the timing was a little bit off. We had some audio issues from the jump, but then we figured it out. But anyway, we're still recording. We just wanted to say what's up, and we'll be back next week. Get better, all right?
Do you got anything you want to plug while you're still
plugs,
sick?
Dog? We already plugged American Daisies.
I'm plugging Propofol. That's what I'm plugging.
Motherfucker, bro. You bad. Bye.